Welcome to another Car Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, there's been a bit of conjecture and coaching changes around the scene, both at the AFL, local, and SNFL. It's unbelievable. And the conjecture about who's going to coach the Crows, I reckon it's just about solved.
It seems that way, doesn't it? There's been all this weekend, they've been talking about a particular coach being given the job, but Crows come out today, or Mark Ricciuto came out today and said that they probably won't be announcing it any time today. So maybe the next few days or sometime in this week we'll find out what's going on. But the current front runner is Matthew Nix,
yep.
Who is a GWS assistant coach. And he played at West Adelaide?
West Adelaide and Sydney.
So he's an Adelaide boy?
Yeah, and I think he may be related to Peter Nix that played for Central District back in the 70s. Not, it wasn't Peter's son, but I think it's Peter's nephew.
But it's going to be, do you think, this is going to be a tough job to take on, wouldn't you think? I mean, there's been a lot going on with the Crows. We talked about when we had John Stimson and Nathan McGrath in, we talked about how the Crows and Port were travelling, and also the review at the time had just been announced, and that has just finished. And in that time, we've seen Scott Camporelli has been moved on, Brett Burns being moved on. We've seen a number of players, obviously, on the trade table, and some key players. So Josh Jenkin, Eddie Betts, Sam Jacobs, Hugh Greenwood, Brody Smith, Cam Ellis-Yolman, Alex Keith, maybe, and there's speculation around Rory Laird and the Couch Brothers. So that's...
Wow.
I mean, there's been a lot going on, and the review sort of also talked about, the impact on the players with that camp they had, and it seemed that was a real problem. There was a real breach of trust from the players' point of view, and obviously it's made it hard for that sort of coaching group, to the competition group, to get them back on side.
What makes it extremely hard is apparently they all signed letters of confidentiality, so they can't really talk about it. But, hey, come on, let's talk about it. Let's find out what the problem is, because it's obviously so much conjecture about it that there's been everything from, throwing people over cliffs and whatever. I mean, it's just a joke the way they've let it go, and it would have been better just to, come clean with it, I reckon.
Well, I think obviously there's stuff. I mean, there's got to be some things that are private. I mean, clubs, everyone should have the right to do their own thing without everyone knowing exactly what they've done. But obviously this has been a real issue for the playing group and its cause. And you think, again, this goes back to that one game, a grand final, albeit. Let's put it in perspective. They were the best team that year. They didn't win the grand final. And from that, all of those things were stemmed. And so we talked about the impact of maybe playing in a grand final but losing it. In their case, they had a big loss. And it just seemed that psychologically it's had a big impact.
Well, I suppose they probably felt they were top, they were almost unbeatable in their own minds, and they went out there with that attitude, and Richmond stomped on them back in 2017. So they probably think, what can we do to really change things around? So they've come up with this idea, which obviously hasn't worked. Now, I've got to ask a question. Are there issues involved with the secrecy and everything about occupational health and safety? Are there things that happen that really the general public and other AFL teams need to know about to avoid falling into that trap?
It is intriguing, isn't it? And when there's this sort of speculation and stories and rumours, it leads to more interest rather than maybe sometimes if everyone knows what the deal was, people go, oh, okay, fair enough, we can move on. But it also begs the question, why this day and age, what's wrong was just getting all those guys together, having a decent sort of camp, having a good time. I mean, even the good old days, having a couple of beers, just bonding over an opportunity rather than, it just seems to be now that people have to do all these weird and wonderful things to try and get some level of improvement. But what's wrong with just having a good, hard pre-season, all bonding as a group? We saw that with Richmond. I mean, yes, they're winning, but the way they talked about each other, they just want to play for each other. And you've sort of got the impression that that's been lost to the Crows. So, this is probably the last sort of piece of the puzzle, isn't it? The trade stuff will go on now for a few weeks. A new team will be formed. And, of course, if Matthew Nix is the new coach, that sort of can put everything else to bed, put it to rest, and they can have a fresh start. So the review's finished. All of the cull has happened, and now a new coach can come in and start from scratch. And hopefully people just let them get on with their job and build another team that can make their way to the top.
One of the things that bothers me is now Don Pike was on a contract for what, another 2 years?
Yeah.
Now he's resigned, but they still have to pay him money. Why?
I didn't know that was the case. So I would think if you resign, you probably understand that. But certainly if you get the sack these days, then you're entitled to that part of your contract. So, I don't understand all the ins and outs, but even Eddie Betts going to Carlton and Crowe's paying part of his salary, and you think,
why?
I don't understand. I mean, there's obviously a lot that goes on that is beyond us, but it's obviously a pretty tricky minefield for the guys involved in that process to actually get it all to happen and keep moving forward.
Well, a lot of this comes under the same situation about we're in the dark. I mean, we're the people that follow the sport, and really, it's all conjecture what we're talking about. We don't really know. And I'm thinking, is that fair to your customers, to the AFL's customers, for them not to know what they're buying?
Well, it's a balancing act, isn't it? And I think part of the issue that we're seeing here with the Crows is that we are, they're a big club in a small fishbowl here. And the amount of conjecture and that goes on, and the sort of rumours that get started, and the discussion is there's so much of it going on. I think it makes it really difficult for the players and the team to function effectively. I mean, even to the point, for example, there was discussion on one of the footy shows about Ken Hinckley being targeted to be the Crows coach.
You're joking.
That's just got to be clickbait, right? Isn't it? Let's just put that up there and let's get a few ratings because. Really, I mean, and that's the sort of level that, like, why does it attract that level of discussion? Why can't people just go, hey, these are the guys that have actually applied for the job, we're interviewing them, and in a period of time, like any other job, we will announce who the person is. And obviously that some of the guys that they were interviewing had other things on the table, which is a normal part of a workplace, yep. And they've taken those jobs, and so they're not available. So, we're doing the same. We're having this discussion because it's interesting, isn't it? And it sort of makes you think. But there's so much stuff that gets written and talked about that doesn't have any basis of fact.
I don't know, but I think the bigger thing that annoys me is you hear things and you hear this and you hear that, and then all of a sudden something else happens. But no one discusses why they said whatever they said earlier, it's just swept under the carpet.
When the coaching job, when Don Pike first stood down, there was one of the shows I listened to, they categorically said that Scott Burns will be the coach. Yep. Like, this was like almost to me. And this person, I can't remember, I'm not saying because I just can't remember, that no, he will be the coach. My mail is this person will be the coach. Now, he's not.
No.
That person who said that should have to come clean. Where the hell did they hear it? And if it's so correct, why is that not the case? Then you get people who are in the process saying, no, that's not the case. And all of a sudden, like us listeners, us people out there going, well, what is the truth? It makes it difficult to know. But anyway, if the current word is and that Matthew Nix is going to be the next or the ninth Crows coach.
Wow. You know, I know over the years there's been so many problems. You know, at the Crows, I mean, when Robert Shaw was coaching, he coached that very negative game and everyone hated it and it ended up costing his job. Then Malcolm Blight, when he sort of come on board, he was like the messiah. He got his, two premierships and then he went away and he went to St Kilda and he was sacked by St Kilda, so obviously that wasn't a good fit. And then you look at Stephen Trigg, CEO of the Crows, what happened to him a number of years ago. There was controversy there. It's almost like you said about Adelaide Crows are in a fishbowl and they can't really make a move without it, without sort of it being dissected and criticised. And gee, I'd hate to be an Adelaide Crows leader.
I think I feel sorry for them, and I think you're right. I think the level of interest in them is obviously has real benefits and positives, isn't it? Because that helps grow the club and media interest and sponsorship and so on. But on the other side of that coin, if things aren't going well, then they get a lot of criticism and sometimes very unfairly, I think.
Yeah, I just think that when you look at the package of the Crows, when they're winning, everyone's excited, everything's positive. But when they're losing or they're not doing as well, gee, the negative nannies come out, don't they?
Well, the tide turns very quickly.
Yeah, I just, you know, and losing all these players, I mean, they're going to be 2-3 years away from being competitive, surely. I mean, where's the cohesion with the players that have played a few years together?
Well, I think, you know, this has all happened, and now you've got to have this process. So at least they've been transparent and upfront about the process they're going through with the review, and they've done all that. And so now, if you look at that list of players who have gone, some of them didn't play a lot this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, probably the one to me, Eddie Betts, you think, he's been a real star, hasn't he? And not only on the...
But he did miss one game.
And that sort of was a telling time, because you go, why would you drop him at that particular point? And there was also lots of sort of discussion about that. But Eddie Betts was a bit more than just a player. Like, I mean, in terms of interest from spectators and people involved in the club, like, he really brought people in, didn't he?
I know Port supporters who like watching Eddie Betts play for the Crows.
And sometimes, like, I mean, you say, it's a competition, but it's also big business. And so... having players like that who bring people to the game to watch, what's he going to do today? That's great for the sport. And so it must be, again, hard decisions from clubs to go, well, yes, he's at that time where he's getting on. He's still he does contribute, but do we have to let him go? And obviously, Crows have made that decision.
You know, with all the controversy about the Crows, with their coaching and they're sacking these people and everything, you know the benefit from that?
No.
Port Adelaide Power are going under the radar.
Port Adelaide now, because they just announced, obviously, it's their 150th year.
Yeah.
So there's a bit going on. We had Nathan McGrath on talking about the return of the prison bars, and so they've just announced that they will get to wear the prison bars for one game against the Crows. So I guess that's a step in the right direction for them. But it seems to be now that they're also bringing together both teams, you know, like the SAFL and the AFL team, and saying, no, we're not Port, we're not Power, we are Port Adelaide, we are one club. And so then they can really focus in on that history, the rich history they've got.
Yeah, I suppose they've rewritten their own history so many times now. I mean, where do you go?
Well, I think we know that you're a bit biased. You're not a Port Adelaide fan, we know that. But I think it's a great thing. And so even the good thing was Pirate Life, they released a new beer, and on the beer is the Prison Bars Guernsey.
Well, just a fact without notice, in 1872, Port Adelaide came out here to Gawler and played Gawler, and Gawler won.
1872?
Yes.
Not long ago.
Well, Port Adelaide, so they started in 1870, and I know in one of the historic things I read that Port Adelaide was saying that they were undefeated right through until they... The SAFA, which is the SNFL, eventually formed in 1877. But hang on, Gawler beat them. And I'm sure other teams did too.
Was that just a practice match, or was that a legitimate game? What was it, an exhibition?
Well, it was legitimate for the time, where teams just, they didn't have a competition. It was just teams agreed to meet and they played. And they were as official as you got. But Port Adelaide was saying they'd never been beaten until 1877. But... I suppose they didn't look up in the old bunyips.
So they underestimated the power of people researching like yourself.
Oh, yeah, but I was looking at the Gawler side of things. But no, it's an interesting little statistic that was in Pomster Premiers, actually, the book on the history of Central District.
Yeah.
But, I just reckon that I think Port Adelaide and the Allied Crows will struggle for the next couple of seasons. I don't think there will be a premiership window or grand final window for at least 3 more seasons for both clubs.
Looking at the last couple of years' results and looking at what's happened now, you'd think maybe Port are in a better position to do to be high and actually get a better result than the Crows next year.
Stability-wise, yeah.
I think Crows, like, maybe it will give them a bit of breathing space, having a new coach, a younger coach, you know, cleaning out their list a little bit, like starting fresh again. They can really honestly say this is a rebuilding time, and that might just give everyone a little bit of chance to release a bit of pressure and just step back and let a new coach and new people involved in the competition program establish themselves and put in place what they want in place. Because that's always the hard thing, is that, like, you inherit a group, and of course you want to play the game a certain way and go about your training a certain way. And so let's hope that Matthew Nix, if he is the coach,
yeah.
gets that opportunity.
Well, the one thing the Crows will be loving is the fact that, I think it was last Saturday's Advertiser, there was something like 12 pages had LA Crows stuff on it in the paper, and it's cricket season.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, that is the benefit, isn't it? They are the big news in town. They have been ever since they started. And so lots of positives. But, of course, now we're starting to see some of the negatives. And as you said, like, when everything's going well, the supporters are pretty happy. But when things aren't going well, there's a lot of pressure on.
Well, on that note, so ends another Carlin Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.